What's next in Michael Pento's?
Well, the dollar crashes for sure. I mean, it's not already on life support. So then, and then the dollar crashes because you're going to print. You vow to print unlimited amounts of money, and that's when I think the bond vigilantes really kick in. They'll start short. They'll sell what they have, and they start shorting the market because of inflation. Listen, with the long end of the bond market has to con is always concerned about two things: solvency and inflation. So if we're still an insolvent nation and we're doing, helicopter money part three, and then we haven't solved the inflation problem, we're going to solve that by printing unlimited amounts of money to buy bonds long in the yield curve. Fed's balance sheet goes to way over double digits. So even if they do assent to dropping the Fed funds rate from 3.5, wherever it is at that moment when we hit that wall of bending the yield curve down, even if we do that, it's not an automatic reliquification of the banking system. So they would have to go, you went all the way from 5.25 to zero, and then you started buying, $85 billion a month of treasuries. So we're not doing that yet. So there's a period of time. My point is, there's a period of time when before the Fed and Treasury assent to what the problem really is, and that period of time, stocks could be down, 50% like they were in 2008. So I wouldn't just ignore it and say, "Oh, well, the Fed's going to come and fix everything." Yeah, but wouldn't you want to get out of the market and be and short it when that,
Of course.
right?
Michael Pento, Pento Portfolio Strategies. Good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
Good afternoon to you, Andy.
It's good to see you. It's been about 3 months since I last had you on. Really like to get your reflections here on 25, what you've seen, and just talk about that, and then really, if you can, if you do have expectations, which is very hard in this day and age, in 26, what are your expectations?
Okay, when you interview, when you get interviewed, you never have to answer the question that you're being. You could always answer the question you wish you were asked.
Yeah, I can push you, but go ahead. What do you want me to
Well,
ask you?
it was a very good question. Reflections on 25. I mean, it would. Okay, we had. I entered the year being very cautious, and then Liberation Day was on the April 2nd, and then caused everything to plunge. And then I think it was April 9th when we said, "Oh, we're just kidding about tariffs." All those tariffs were, pretty much recanted on that date. So then we went longer. We've been long the market, 40% net long the market. Of course, we have precious metals, we have bonds in there, and we're enjoying the ride up.
That's a good trade.
And then November 6th, I start getting my model told me get a little more defensive. So I had credit spreads to widen out, financial conditions stopped easing, the MOVE index, which is bond market volatility started rising. So I said, let me just take a little off the table here, which is exactly what I did. And then we had, I think it was November 13th. I'm 62, so my memory's not perfect. So I believe it was November 13th is when the Fed funds futures market said no rate cut. It was below 50%. And
Yeah,
then we
that's
saw
right.
everything, the S&P went down 5%, the Nasdaq went down 6%, 6%, Bitcoin lost 20%, everything went to a correlation of one, even precious metals got sold.
Right.
And then we had John Williams, Fed governor, said, "You know what? I think we're going to have a rate cut, right?" He came out and said that a few days later. Forget the exact date. And then, of course, we had December 9th or 10th when Powell launched QE. It's not QE. Well, no, let me say. So when the Fed expands its balance sheet, when it creates credit,
It's QE.
high powered money, Fed credit is high powered money because it's the same as cash. It's just electronic cash. Can be converted to paper money if that's what you want. But it's high powered money. When they print $40 billion a month to buy short-term bonds, I don't care why, if it's to stabilize the money markets or it's whatever reason, I just don't care. It's called monetization.
Right.
And it's called QE because you're growing the Fed's balance sheet. And then we had a couple of days where, hey, we went to a record high, and then we have today. So you said you wanted me to make a couple of projections on 26. I'm still net long the stock market. I think now we're now 20% long stock market. We have hedges in place, precious metals, and we have a short as well. The two Achilles heel of the stock market, Andy, for 26 are one, the bursting of this AI bubble, which was used to be engendered by cash flow. You buy chips from NVIDIA with cash flow. Now you're buying chips from NVIDIA with debt, hundreds of billions of dollars in debt, just adding to the massive credit bubble we have. So what happens if excuse me, what happens if that ends? And the other Achilles heel for the market in 26, well, let me answer my own question. If that ends, then the GDP crashes and the stock market crashes, because that's where all the growth and earnings are, and that's where all, I mean, if you take out the max the AI related stocks, earnings are negative. You know that? Did you know
Yes. Yeah, I
that?
did actually.
In the NIPA tables, they showed that earnings are negative outside the AI stocks. So that's not really very good. And that's where all the growth in the stock market's been, or at least most of it has been. It's been broadening out lately, but most of it has been there. So that's one problem. And the other Achilles heel is if interest rates begin to rise. If interest rates begin to rise because of the fiscal and monetary madness that's coming in 26, in other words, we're giving out stimulus, we're giving out maybe $2,000 per kid, and or $1,000 a kid, and $2,000 for everybody makes under $100,000. Helicopter money part two, part three, actually. And also we haven't, we haven't slain the inflation dragon too. That's still, we're still way above Fed target. In fact, we're almost 5 years now where the Fed's been above target. And then we're going to have monetary madness. We're going to get what I call an obsequious sycophant of Donald Trump's getting there, who's going to slash interest rates. I voted for Donald Trump, so I'm not, don't put me down as a Trump hater, please. But Trump, I think quite inappropriately said, well, Powell's a stiff, and he is a stiff. I'll give him that. But he said he could have went, instead of doing 25 basis point rate cuts, he could have done 50 basis points, doubled it, and maybe even more than doubled. So Trump is now espousing like 75 basis point rate cuts from the Fed. That's going to really submarine the long end of the bond market. So those are your two things to worry about in 26. So that's the question I wish you answered and asked. And guess what? I think you probably ended up doing that anyway. So good. Good for you.
Well, okay, so that's what's, I don't want to say confusing to me, but I keep a really good watch on the bond market, and why haven't the long-term rates, unless they're being bought, they gotta be bought by somebody, right? But I would say, why aren't they significantly higher than they're at right now?
Well,
And that's the that and I think I know the answer, but go ahead.
that's a brilliant question. Now you're asking the question I actually wanted you to ask. I've tussled with that too, because the 10-year note should be, the benchmark U.S. Treasury should trade around where nominal GDP is, maybe slightly higher than nominal GDP. So what's nominal GDP? Well, if you look at the growth rate according to the Atlanta Fed, it's like 3.5%,
Right.
and then inflation's 3. So when I went to school, that was 6.5. So, I mean, the bond market must be very worried about, because it's not being bought by the long end of the Fed is just ending QT now. So they're not doing it. So somebody in there is very much worried about, somebody in, the bond vigilantes have been in a coma for a long time. I think they're worried about a recession. And that's a possibility. I mean, but where's the upside? There is zero upside in bond prices. And there's a massive upside in bond yields outside of a U.S. recession. Outside of a U.S. recession. And even if there is a U.S. recession, I expect that bump in prices and the drop in yields to be very ephemeral and transitory, because deficits are going to go to $6 trillion per annum, and I just don't know who's going to buy them outside of the Federal Reserve. They're going to have to. You'll see the Fed probably, once the benchmark Treasury hits 6%, they're just going to say, okay, now we're capping that yield. We're going to buy. We're going to be like Shinzo Abe of Japan before he left, say, listen, we're just capping yields at 6%. They're just not going to go any higher. Oh boy, that's going to be fun.
Right.
That's when the fun really starts.
Well, but game that out for me. That's where, and I would agree, that's where the fun really starts. But, and I have my expectations on that. I actually expect everything that you just talked about. But game that out for me in your words, then. Let's say that happens. Yields go to 6%, and they're saying, nope, they're not going any higher. Are they going to stay right here? What's next in Michael Pento's?
Well, the dollar crashes for sure. I mean, it's not already on life support. So then and then the dollar crashes because you're going to print, you vow to print unlimited amounts of money. And that's when I think the bond vigilantes really kick in. They'll start short, they'll sell what they have and they start shorting the market. Because of inflation, listen, the long end of the bond market asset is always concerned about two things: solvency and inflation.
Right.
So if we're still an insolvent nation and we're doing, helicopter money part three, and then we haven't solved the inflation problem, we're going to solve that by printing unlimited amounts of money to buy bonds long in the yield curve. Fed's balance sheet goes to way over double digits, and can I be absolutely sure this is going to cause complete chaos in the stock market? No, but I'm almost guaranteeing that we're going to have a currency collapse. And I don't know why that wouldn't cause foreigners just to dump their treasuries hand over fist, even faster than they already are. So I think we might push the button on that. How much you're really going to buy, whoever's Kevin Hassett, whoever's there, how much you're really willing to buy, and what's the cost? So that's what I think right now. I mean, I don't see how vowing to cap your interest rates is a panacea for inflation or fiscal insolvency. I don't see it.
Yeah, no, neither do I. But I go back to 2007, 2008, if you would. And the question really I have, and again, this is just me talking out loud and what I'm working through. That starts to happen, a replay of nearly 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago. Why can't they do it again? And it not, I'm doing this in air quotes. Air quotes, please. And it work. That's air quotes.
Yeah, it worked. Work. The word work should be in air quotes. Yeah.
That's what I mean.
So I've done that same mental exercise as well. And the difference between now and 2007, 2008 was what was our main issue? Because I've looked at the numbers.
The housing
What
market.
was the main issue with the economy was we were in a period of sharp disinflation, deflation, banks were in trouble. But
Insolvency, yep.
But at the time, the stock bubble at that point was at 107%. The total market value of stocks to GDP was 107%. Now it's 230%. The debt to GDP ratio was nowhere near where it is today. I don't have the exact number back then, but now we're at 120. I think 100. And, is it
No,
120?
you're right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I think,
So
yeah.
125%, and inflation is a problem now. Whereas back then
Yes.
it wasn't a problem.
Yes.
We have bankrupted the middle class of this country. So those are the three things that are different this time. So when they say, well, yeah, all right, we have a crisis. So let me just back up a second. When the Fed responded, so the Fed started cutting rates in the summer of 2007.
Yes.
And if you thought that was a reason to buy stocks, you would have been really, really disappointed.
We actually went to bonds, but go ahead.
So stock, yeah, well, that's what my model would do. So even if they do assent to dropping the Fed funds rate from 3.5, wherever it is at that moment when we hit that wall of bending the yield curve down, even if we do that, it's not an automatic reliquification of the banking system. So they would have to go, you went all the way from 5.25 to zero, and then you started buying, $85 billion a month of treasuries. So we're not doing that yet. So there's a period of time. My point is, There's a period of time when before the Fed and Treasury assent to what the problem really is. And that period of time, stocks could be down, 50% like they were in 2008. So I wouldn't just ignore it and say, oh, well, the Fed's going to come and fix everything. Yeah, but wouldn't you want to get out of the market and short it when that,
Of course.
right? And then I will also say this time around, we have those three differences that we have a massive, not only have a massive housing bubble, we also have a stock bubble. And we're an insolvent nation with an inflation problem. Those are the three things that I would say is different. So it, in other words, it may not be able to be ameliorated as easily as it was, and I'll put that in quotes, as easily as it was in 2007, 2009, 8, 9.
Well, as you were, I was heavily in the market. I wasn't in the market. I was sitting on the sidelines, but I was managing some money during that time. And I just remember thinking, because everything was going to hell. And I literally thought, am I going to have to go out and buy a house in the woods or a cabin in the woods and haul water? Because everything was, it was scary. It was very, very illiquid, I might say. But I'm trying to think here again, and this is a, I guess I think of it best as a game, and there are constantly changes in the game. I am assuming that's going to happen.
Yeah,
We just talked.
good assumption. Good
That
assumption.
that's and that's an assumption, but
Yeah.
I think that's the highest probability,
Yeah.
right?
Yep.
So let's assume we get that. Then what does that look like? And what I'm trying to get at, obviously, it's very, very bullish for precious metals who've been on a tear. Who've been on a tear, and it makes me, the contrarian already makes me a little bit afraid of it,
I
but on a
think, well,
tear.
I think that's if you want to know. A majority of the reason why that's happening. I think the precious metals complex is figuring this out. What I just went through, that mental exercise that you've done, that I've done, this is where it's headed.
Yeah.
This is where we're headed. And we're running $2 trillion deficits, $1 trillion interest payments. That's the reason why the Fed is cutting rates, by the way. I mean, they're not cutting rates for any other reason. We can get into that after I make my point here. But so we understand we have an insolvent problem. They understand we have an inflation problem. And that's what they're doing right now. They're the bond market, the I'm sorry, the precious metals complex is saying we understand it's going to be QE and interest rate repression for a very, very long time. Intractable stagflation is what I see.
100%. Yep, I agree.
And
Go ahead.
that's the environment where, inflation's very high. Well, what is, you know, what is the best condition for precious metals is when real interest rates are falling. So if you cap interest rates, they're not rising, and you're creating a ton of inflation to keep them from rising, what happens to real interest rates? They plummet.
Right.
Nominal minus inflation. So that's what I think was happening here. And that's what I think that's why we're in this huge bull market in platinum and gold and silver.
Yeah, it really, it's not only, as I might add, as you just pointed out, it's in the metals, but it's also, it seems like all commodities, with the exception of oil, which I expect, actually, these are my
I own
thoughts.
it. I own it.
These are my thoughts, and you can certainly chime in. Absolutely, please let me know. I'm actually very optimistic on oil because I see that catching a bit in 26. But go ahead.
Well, I own it. I've owned it for the last few months. I'm not in a huge position yet. I hope to increase it soon. But I keep on hearing everybody, oh, and this massive oil glut. And I was like, wait a second. I mean, if we really destroy the dollar, like I think we're going to, even to a greater extent, and we create all this stagflation, the best hedge you can have, other than gold, is energy.
Right.
So that's where I'm not jumping in both feet, but I'm getting a position in there right now because that could rip higher. That's done nothing for years. And as far as I know, they're not creating any more energy, or if they are, they're creating it very slowly, right? I'm talking about fossil fuels, right? So the technology's there. We're drilling. As a matter of fact, I read the other day that the amount of oil that the United States is producing is actually going down now.
Yep, the Permian Basin. Yep.
We're kind of like tapped out.
Plateaued.
So I mean, unless we want to wait another billion years for the human race to decay, we're not replacing it very, very quickly. So that's how we get fossil fuels, though. Dead.
I got it.
I just wanted to make sure. So, So, and we continue to use it. I mean, even though we have all this alternative energy, that's the primary source of power. So yeah, I'm an energy bull right now, and going to be more so in 26.
Got it. Okay. So let's land the plane on this here. In 26, again, we're going on our assumptions, what we talked about. Where are the best places, or where are the interesting places that you're sniffing around for allocation, if you would? Again, maintaining myself, and I'm not speaking for you, but myself is maintaining a precious, large, very large precious metal position, but also looking at other commodities, specifically oil, and I own oil as well, just full disclosure. But what there's not, it's weird because there's not, and maybe that's it. There's not a whole lot of things to like, but the things
Well,
I
I can
like, I
tell you
really
what,
like.
I'll tell you what I'm, yeah. I mean, the market cap, the GDP right now is 230%, 225, 230%. So that's a huge red flag. What I own right now is I own energy through the XLE. I own gold. I own platinum. I'm trading in and out of silver. Silver just broke it. When silver broke the above its all-time high, so when I sold it, because it was, whenever you hear the television squawking about silver, silver, this is usually a good time to take some profits on it. So I did that for some clients. And so I also own India. India's in that particular nation has that market hasn't gone, the Sensex hasn't gone anywhere for a while now. And it's laden with tariffs, but I mean they have a one of the best GDP growth rates on the planet and a very, very healthy workforce, so intelligent workforce too. I just love that country. So I have some of that. I have aerospace and defense because this world isn't getting any safer. So and how I'm choosing to play the AI trade is through energy, by the way.
Go ahead.
If it works. If AI is going to be everything we said it is, and all these data centers are burning up all our fossil fuels, then I'm fine. And even if they fail and we enter stagflation, the energy might ca catch a bid. So that's where I am. That's primarily where I do have a lot of short-term debt. So that's treasuries from 1 to 3 years on the yield curve. And I have a short too. I'm actually short the market a little, by about, I think I'm only 3% short. So. But net net, we're about 20% long, 15, 20% long. So we're not over our skis. But think about what's going to happen in 26. If the energy gets a lot better, and the precious metal bid continues to be there, and then we have the Fed slashing interest rates on the short end of the yield curve, that would make me money on my short term, short duration bets. Now, and the last thing, I one more thing. I've been short the 10-year note since 4%, which has proven to be a good bet too. So
No,
I'm in there. I'm in for the yield curve to expand as the Fed cuts rates and the long end rises. That's what I think is going to happen.
yeah. No, well done. I kind of see going back to the AI trade. I have not participated in that, but I have. And what I mean by that is, I think, and how I've participated, I think it's through energy and copper. And I've been long both. And it's like sell that to the data centers or that are being built, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And it might be true. I'm just not going to buy overvaluation, number one. And number two, I think the way to make money is to sell these people stuff. So that's just my two cents on that.
And once again, we agree. We agree. That's the I think that's the safest way to play the AI craze.
Well, Michael, we're wrapping up here. People want to do business with you. If they want to find out more about you, how do they find you and how do they do business with you?
So it's website is pentoport.com. Pentoport.com. There you'll find a midweek reality check. That's the podcast. It's 5 weeks free trial. $50 a year will get you my insights and a 36,000 foot view of where to invest. And if you have $100,000 to invest and you qualify for the portfolio and you're a U.S. citizen, it's a long short portfolio, by the way, which I think everybody should be in. Seriously, I really think. I mean, it's it. I think the SEC considers it a like an alternative investment. But listen, when you have things this crazy, you need to have the flexibility. At least, hey, at least be able to go into all bonds. at least. But
I've done that
a lot of
before.
people, Andy, a lot of these wirehouses, these big brokers, they won't let you do it.
Yep.
You can't charge money when you're, yeah. Well, listen, I'd rather make money for my clients for a few months and not be invested in stocks and just own bonds rather than go down 30, 40, 50%.
Yeah.
Doesn't that make, yeah,
100%.
I'm a fiduciary, so that's what I'll do. So anyway, I will manage your money in the inflation, deflation, economic cycle model, the same one that's always picked up since I launched it in 2016, has never failed to miss a trenchant drop in the stock market.
Yeah. To all my viewers and listeners, I said this last time you were on, Michael. I will always be eternally grateful to Michael. I don't mean to embarrass you, Michael, but Michael was one of the when I was first getting started and a little guy, Michael was one of the first high profile people to come on, and so you have my gratitude. I also have been a follower of Michael's through his career, actually, for probably 20 plus years, and Michael's one of the good guys. If that means anything, that's a big stamp of endorsement from me. So to all my viewers and listeners that qualify, please check him out or at least listen to him. He's one of those voices you should consider in this chaotic world. Michael, I want to
Thank
thank
you
you.
very much, Andy.
You're
It's
very
a pleasure.
welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Merry Christmas to you and to your family. And I'd love to see you in the new year sometime in the first quarter. And we'll see where everything's at, but love to have you on in the first quarter again.
We'll be sure to make it happen. God bless.
All right. Take care. Merry Christmas.